Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Leap year? Use that extra day wisely. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Less than 2 days to go until voting in the general election 2020, and in the last of our constituency debates this evening, we're focusing on Dublin North West, with candidates joining me here in studio at 5:30. But what are the big issues in the constituency, and how will voters there make up their minds on Saturday? Our reporter John Cook has spent the day in Dublin North West, and he's here in studio with me now to tell me more, John, about the constituency and where you've been.
Yeah, Dublin North West, Mary, currently represented by three fairly well-known TDs: Roisin Shortall, the co-leader of the Social Democrats, Sinn Féin's Desi Ellis, and Fine Gael's Noel Rock. It remains a three-seat constituency, though it has had some fairly significant boundary changes. Over 12,000 voters transferred from Dublin North West to Dublin Central from the Glasnevin and Drumcondra areas, and the constituency includes Ballygall, Ballymun, Whitehall and Finglas electoral areas, with issues like bus and commuter services, medical access, homelessness and the high cost of housing coming up as I visited those communities today. Now, to a country mouse like me, Mary, Ballymun was always famous or infamous for its flats and the antisocial behaviour and drug problems which grew up around them, perhaps unfairly, because I've met some lovely people there the many times I visited for reports there. What really struck me today was that since the flats were knocked to make way for better housing, something's been lost in terms of community spirit and connections between residents. Arriving in Ballymun, you couldn't help but notice the cranes in the sky, houses and apartments being built across from IKEA as I drove through the Belclare estate towards Poppentry to speak to voters. And the first place I went to was the Access Centre in Ballymun. It's a theatre and arts centre, home to community groups like the Local Drugs Task Force, housing, employment and welfare services. But some of the best and informative discussions I encountered take place over tea and coffee downstairs in the Axis Cafe. I met young mothers with toddlers there, Mary, chatting together while older children were at school. They told me it's one of the few places they have to meet now. And the first person we'll hear from is Shauna. She approached me outside the cafe before I went in to sit down with others. She wanted to talk to me about her housing situation.
I'm 28 months homeless at the minute, and I'm in a fourth hotel, three kids. And it's absolutely horrible. Me 2-year-old, when I moved in to a hotel, was electrocuted and rushed straight to hospital. She's all right now. She's still being brought in for checkups and that. She's nearly 4 now.
It's scary, but I suppose it highlights how unsuitable hotel rooms are for bringing up your kids. Could you afford a rent round here, or what are there any alternatives?
There's no way I could afford rent round here. There would be HAP where I would be entitled to, I think, 1,800, but you won't get an apartment round here for that price. £2,500, probably €3,000, €3,000 for an apartment, so I'm not looking at the ads anymore. I'm just waiting now for me forever home off the ECC now. I'd say I'd be 3 years before I get out for emergency accommodation.
How do you feel then about that? Will you be able to get back to normal and you hope to live here in Ballymun?
I hope to live here in Ballymun. Normal, no, I don't think I'll ever be the same person that walked into the hotels ever. Normie, three kids, A3 and 2 there.
In the Leech, I just like all the buildings to stop around Ballymun. They took down the flats, now they're sticking up apartments.
You need housing though, don't you?
We do, but they took down the flats. I don't know why they'd done it. There was better. There was no homeless. The homeless wasn't as bad. The other day, in them that corner, see over there in that wall, there was a tent. Someone sleeping in it the other day, a foreigner. I'm voting Sinn Féin, because give them a chance. See, but can they make any difference? Because your man, Leo, whatever his name is, he's not doing nothing. He's just all talk.
Charlotte, tell me about your situation. So you live here in Ballymun?
Yeah. And I was homeless for 2.5 years.
You're very young, if you don't mind me saying. Yeah. Are you a young mother?
Yeah, I have two babies, yeah. Just had nowhere to go with my baby. I had one baby at the time when I started off. And then I had a second baby. And people will obviously think that, oh, why did you go on and have another baby? But this thing's happening, there's a lot of people out there like that. And this is what needs to be, the new politicians that's coming in, the new government needs to lock down on and have a look at what they're going to be dealing with the situation. Like, they're building student accommodation around Ballymun, where there's most of the population that's homeless is Ballymun. I was working, I gave up work because I had no one to mind the kids, and the creche can't take them on for so many hours because they're not getting funding for it.
So ease the cost of childcare and you might go back to work, is that what you're saying?
Oh yeah, definitely.
You're worried about the lack of community services, but like basic things like shops in Ballymun.
No shops. You can't buy pants, bras. You can't, anything.
So where do people go and do all their shopping? So for the bras and wherever else, it's to the big shopping centres.
Charlestown, Town, Omley. Hopefully a few shops will come into Ballymun, like a butcher. No butchers or nothing. Nothing. Can't buy nothing.
So you'd like to see more community stores in the area?
Yeah, so you can go and they can apply for jobs. There'd be more going on in the area. It'd be like a little it's a town centre, but there's nothing in it. Do you understand what I mean? We have to keep going out everywhere. So there's nothing for kids or anything to do. It's only for the Reco and the community centre in Poppentry. We need it for the small babies. We need it for the older ones coming out of school. Stop the drugs, because the drug habit around here is very bad. Drug dealing. It's not just the people in Ballymun, there's people coming from other places to come in and get the drugs. So it's not just Ballymun people, it's other people. But Ballymun gets the bad name for it.
Nowhere to buy a bra, Mary. It's the first time I heard that issue raised in general election 2020. But Linda had loads of great things to say, and she mentioned young people's services, including the Reco. That's the home of the Ballymun Regional Youth Resource, or Briar as locals called it when I asked for directions. And I met manager Christine Lodge there. She spoke of a positive and vibrant community in Ballymun. Despite negative perceptions, she said, it has the same challenges as many other working class towns across Ireland now. And Christine spoke of some great agencies who've been funded through government resources, but they need more in specific areas, including young people's mental health services.
Definitely mental health is one of those areas that needs a lot of attention. Another key challenge that young people face in this community is that some young people are struggling to maintain their school places, particularly at secondary school level. So we believe very strongly that there's an absolute need to have an additional to mainstream education, an alternative to mainstream education, because young people are struggling on reduced timetables, they've sporadic attendance, their placement breaks down, and unfortunately a lot of the time then they become involved in criminality or antisocial behaviour. So
tell me about your Easy Street programme.
So we have a building-based team based here in the Reco, but we've also got an outreach team. And one of the programmes that we have, which is funded by the Ballymun Local Drugs and Alcohol Task Force, is Easy Street. And it's a programme that targets young people involved in gangs, criminality and antisocial behaviour. So the Easy Street team are on the streets of Ballymun every evening, just engaging with young people. As we know, one of those serious issues that we all face at this moment in time for people working with young people is more resources around targeting young people that have been groomed into criminality and gangs, and more funding is needed to be able to respond to those changing needs in the community.
Christine Lodge of the Ballymun Regional Youth Resource Centre, or Resource Limited, I think they call themselves. You went along then, John, to Finglas.
Yes, Mary. After locals in Ballymun lamented the loss of the flats and their old shopping centre, I was interested to hear news today of another building, only built in the 1960s, being knocked because Dublin City Council's granted permission for a large Catholic church in Finglas to be demolished. It's expected the Church of the Annunciation in Finglas may be replaced by a smaller one, but clearance of the large site could make way for much needed housing or health facilities. And I found few people, to be honest, around the church itself today. There were a small group drinking cans on a wall. Many others waited for buses or went about their business to the local shops near the Finglas Centre, where 49 people currently participate in community employment schemes. They face an uncertain future, though, I found out when staff approached me on the street. But first, I spoke to people leaving the local convenience shop. A single mother, firstly, criticised state housing supports for a different reason this time, Mary. She said they could do nothing to help her and her children because she was actually working. She said they only work if you're unemployed. At the time, she was working and progressing her way through a good job. Here's what happened.
And when I got the higher paid jobs, I was knocked off the housing, even after waiting a decade, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Because you were earning too much, is that what they were saying?
So great that it looks on paper that I had loads of money, but €1,400 of rent and then €800 of childcare was taking more of my income than anything, but I wasn't dependent on the state. And then I got a brain aneurysm. And when I got a brain aneurysm, I had to resign from my job in order to go back on social welfare because they wouldn't help me pay the private rent. If I stayed in my job, and even if I took a career break from my job, I was technically still employed, so I needed to give up my job in order to go back onto the housing list in order to get social welfare, in order to get my brain like actually basically looked at. So it's going backwards instead of going forward. So they encouraged me to go onto a social welfare payment, which is dependent on the state. Getting a medical card dependent on the state, getting housing dependent on the state.
So you'd like to see that system change. Do you know they're going knocking this church, the Church of the Annunciation, in front of us to build houses, or what have you heard about that?
Yeah, they're knocking that church down, but they're saying they're knocking it down now. So by the time my kids are 25, they'll probably knock it down because they knocked down O'Devany 10 years ago and it's still not built. It's great that they're saying they're doing these things, but how quick are they actually going to do it?
Well, actually, I'd like to see more people being off the dole and getting back to work now. I'm doing a work scheme in the Moms and Fingers Youth Centre. I worked in Clearys for 14 years.
That's an awful blow to lose your job after that time.
Yeah. And we only got 1 hour's notice. and it was actually horrible.
Has it been hard to try and get back into work and to find a job?
It's been a lot of stress and frustrating.
You're getting some help here through a back to work scheme.
Now, I have a year's contract. I'm hoping to do anything, like go back to warehouse work, general operative, a proper job, a proper money.
Marie McCann, manager of the Finglas Centre.
And you were very kind, yourself and Cherie, to come out and invite me in, because I'm chatting to people out on the street here. A lot of people were saying there's a lot of people hanging around. Someone said to me, I wish they had somewhere to go, something to do. Unemployment's still a big issue here.
It is. I mean, you know, I know the government come out and say unemployment, the figures are fabulous, they've risen, but we're not seeing it in this part of Dublin. This particular part of Finglas has one of the highest unemployment rates in the greater Dublin area. There is no resources being pumped into this particular area. I mean, ourselves, we're looking at having to close down due to lack of funding.
Really?
Yeah, really. And I mean, presently, we have over 680 clients who walk through that door on a monthly basis.
So what'll happen? How long do you know you'll be here?
At the moment, we're not sure. We are going to meet with our board next week and we will make a decision then. But unless some kind of funding comes through, it's very unlikely that we'll be able to continue.
I came to this area, I was talking to people at the Church of the Annunciation. It's going to be knocked down for housing. That's a good thing, is it? It'll create employment too, Cherie?
The church here is a big loss, the Church of the Annunciation. We have an older generation up here in Finglas West. There's no interaction anymore. We have the younger people hanging around the shops, as Marie said, unemployment, but also underemployment. There's people that just have no prospects, early school leavers, and we see a lot of this area.
You said to me you don't see your local TDs in Dublin North West here?
I have to be honest with you. Paul McAuliffe would be very much on the ground. Noel Rock, who is the Fine Gael TD, we've never seen him in this part of Finglas. Roisin would always attend events that we would be having. Roisin was always a friend of the centre. And Desi would attend events too. But as regards, I just feel getting things done on the ground and getting things done for this part of Finglas, there's a lot more can be done.
Now, that was Maria McCann, the manager of the Finglas Centre. She was calling for greater support from Dublin North West candidates, and we'll be meeting some of those she was mentioning a bit later on. But John, staying with your trip out to Dublin North West today, will you give us an idea of how they're going to fare on Saturday?
They could do it knocking on doors too. I was just thinking, a lot of people said to me they hadn't seen their candidates, so canvassing, not as much of an issue it seems in Dublin North West.
I haven't seen a candidate. Now, granted, I'm out at work all day, but around the weekends and everything, I've had nobody to
my
door.
I've had many of them twice, Mary, and that's a definite sign that some candidate is under threat. I won't mention where. But from travelling to, say, Laois, Kerry, Clare, places like that for constituency reports, Limerick, they knock on doors. They don't seem to in Dublin North West. Maybe other listeners would disagree. There are three seats up for grabs here and 10 candidates, including the outgoing TDs, seeking election this weekend. And most onlookers expect sitting Social Democrats TD Roisin Shortall to take the first seat. She's a former Labour TD. She's a junior minister. She's been there since 92. She was elected on the first count in 2016 with more than 28% of first preference votes. Sinn Féin's Desi Ellis was elected on the seventh count last time round. First elected in 2011, he served as a Dublin City Councillor for 12 years. And whether, Mary, it's a Sinn Féin surge or a saga these days over controversies in the north that might be a play on polling day, most onlookers expect him to poll well regardless and retain his seat. So if there's to be a change this time round, it's the previously mentioned Noel Rock who's in trouble. He's seen as particularly hit by the redrawing of constituencies, losing important areas in Drumcondra and parts of South Glasnevin. The Greens' Caroline Conroy and Labour's Andrew Montague may be ones to watch for the future election, whenever that might be, but the battle here is between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and a possible rerun of what happened in 2016 between Rock and McAuliffe. I've been speaking to the group editor with the Dublin Gazette, Colleen Duffy, and he says that while Fine Gael seats are under threat nationally, it's especially the case here in Dublin North West.
They were very lucky to get a seat last time round. There was a huge battle between Paul McAuliffe and Noel Rock. Noel Rock getting through in the end. It could be reversed this time round.
Noel Rock, known for maybe a national profile, talking about things from ticket touting to the FAI, but locally in Dublin North West, how's he viewed?
People think he's a good politician, there is no doubt about that, but some of the negative sway maybe towards Fine Gael in the lead up to this election could affect him, crucial votes. It went to the ninth count last time round between Noel Rock and Paul McAuliffe. Noel Rock just getting through in the end. Expect a battle this time round also, but but certainly his seat is far from safe. Paul McAuliffe, the current Lord Mayor of Dublin, of course, as well.
Boosts his profile. He was in the firing line from Leo Varadkar over the injuries to that homeless man recently. So maybe a sure sign that he's seen as a threat. So for you, there's 10 candidates for three seats, but the only question is over the third seat.
I think the change will probably be there, as you mentioned, between Rock and McAuliffe. A Fianna Gael seat currently, a Fianna Fáil seat as of next Saturday or Sunday when the count obviously takes place.
There you go, Colin Duffy of Dublin Gazette, ending John Cook's report. I'll be joined by some of the candidates in Dublin North West for a live debate in the next half hour or so.